Good morning, Nick Reinberger with you on ABC Mornings. You probably heard in the news that Medibank confirmed that the criminal responsible for stealing customer data did release some of that information on a dark web forum. These criminals acted on their threat to release sensitive health data and other information like phone numbers and addresses of Medibank customers, and they're reportedly posting it under the good list and naughty list, picking out people that might have received treatment for addiction to drugs and that kind of thing. The Australian Federal Police says it's working with other agencies to scour the internet and known criminal online sites to find those who are buying or selling personal data. But the question is, what is the dark web? Stilgherrian is one of our regular cyber experts and joins me now here at ABC Illawarra. G'day.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. How would you describe the dark web?
Well, I reckon the easiest way to describe it is back in the old days, you knew that on Thursday nights at the back of the Pig and Whistle Hotel in the car park, there was a bloke called Brian who could sell you stuff.
Right, yeah.
It's really just the internet equivalent to that. Now, what it is, when you finally get there, they're just websites. There's commerce websites where you can buy and sell things. There's forums where you can post comments and discussions. There's a dark web equivalent of Facebook, where you can just socialise. Now, what makes
so it's
it
like
dark,
the regular web, but it's not accessible by regular means in exactly the same way.
Right.
Your metaphor is very good. You know, it's the bloke in the dark alley that you know you would never normally go down that dark alley unless you had a reason to.
That's right. And in the case of the dark web, instead with a normal website, like you just type in the address and you connect to it, or you search on Google and you click through. Yeah. These sites aren't on Google, and you can't connect to them directly. You use a particular bit of software called Tor, T-O-R, and that bounces your connection all around the planet, jump after jump after jump, which makes it really difficult to trace. And
right.
The next time you hit it, it'll take another path. So that's why it becomes hard to track. But in essence, it's just the bits of the internet you haven't heard of or wouldn't normally stumble across.
Mm. Why, hypothetically, would they release it on the dark web when I would have thought the power of it would be to release it on the regular web so anybody could get access to this sensitive data?
I reckon part of that's just the culture of it, that we're criminals, this is where we hang out. We're not offering it for sale. And really, they're only offering it for sale to other criminals who can then use this data to impersonate people. I mean,
right.
If we've got something like, for example, the Medibank data, it's got your name, it's got your address, it's got your date of birth, it's got something to ID you like a passport number or a driver's license number. And the more information you have about someone, the easier it is to create a false identity, which you can then open credit card numbers in their name and take out a loan and all of that. That's the ultimate game. But in this case, the first step is just to say to Medibank or whoever data belongs to, look, tell you what, give us $10 million and we'll delete it.
Mm. Well, I suppose they
release
it themselves on the dark web because if you put it on a Google Drive, you could probably that could be traced back to you, the criminal.
That's right.
So
that's
yeah,
right. And
the release
Google
itself becomes anonymous. Right.
That's right. Google operates, you know, cooperates with police forces. If they get a warrant, they'll hand over who connected and so on.
Yeah.
So you want to keep it all on the down low. Now, the problem is, of course, can you trust the criminals to actually delete the data once they've got the 10 million? Or will they say, ha, 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 thanks. And now another 10 million.
Yoink. Yeah.
So it's a tough one. I mean, the standard advice is don't pay ransoms, don't do business with terrorists because it just encourages more people to do it. On the other hand, you do actually do want your kidnapped kids back at some point. So,
yeah. I was listening to the ABC's finance guy and he said, look, some of the young people in the office would, you know, could find this stuff on the dark web in 2 minutes, but he said, don't do it. Downloading that information is actually illegal because it's, you know, private information.
That's right.
But people might be tempted to go on the web just to see if, you know, if you're a Medibank private customer or an Optus customer, to see whether your information's been compromised. Is that a dumb idea?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't do it. There's only a small sample being put up so far, and that's something that people holding data to ransom do. They say, yeah, look, here's 100 records, or here's 500. Check against, you know, your records, and you can see that it's the legitimate thing. You will be notified by Medibank eventually. There's not a whole lot you can do about it anyway. Your driver's license number could well be out there for sale without you knowing about it. Mm-hmm. It's only these really big ones where a big song and dance is made about it. I think the value is there when they say the ransom's $1 per record. It makes your identity theme a bit worthless. But now the case is the authorities will be looking at that data. They will see the ID numbers that have already been made public, and they're the ones they'll immediately say, you know, to the banks or to whoever, watch out, watch these accounts for suspicious activity. So yeah. I will say the banking industry is pretty good about that these days.
Mm. You're always a good explainer. Thank you very much for having a chat to us today.
No worries, Nick, anytime.
So Stilgherrian, our dark web cyber expert here with us at ABC Illawarra.